We thank you, Lord. We thank you and bless your name this morning. We thank you that our faces are lifted up on high today. And we desire to reflect your glory, reflect you in this house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, on Friday night we had some teams go out and just seek out the face of others as they sought out the face of the Lord first, and were able to minister on the streets. And I just love that. I just think that's so raw, and it's just expected by the Lord in a good way. It's a good expectation, just the holy righteousness of the Lord. And just thank you that we have the privilege of doing that. So, yeah, I just wanted to, I think Mike and Jamie and Bethany had a testimony from the treasure hunt. We've been doing treasure hunts before they've been called treasure hunts, because we're his treasure and he's hunting for us, and we're looking for others. So praise the Lord. And you guys had a testimony. Andy, did you want to share a couple of things about that? Because some people, we kind of have a group of folks going elsewhere today, different places in the country or the state.
Yes, we had a amazing time on Friday night. How many guys made it out there with us? We were waiting for our lovely white bus to arrive, and so we piled 14 people into Dan Falk's van while we waited and prayed. So it was an amazing time, and I wanted to ask Jill to come, and then obviously Pastor Mary Pat mentioned Mike and Jamie, but it was just an incredible night of just seeing the Lord come and touch people. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily unconventional, but it was just amazing to see the different divine connections and the appointments that we had with people where they just knew that, hey, their name was on this list, and it went away, and the Lord used that list several times to just kind of really encourage people. So I wanted Jill to share kind of what happened with her group, and she was with Troy, and she can describe to you the smiley faces.
Well, before we went out at the very end there, someone had a word from the Lord about smiley faces. And if you've ever been in downtown Canton, there's this one street, excuse me, that has artistic three faces up on the building there, and one of them is a great big smiley face for sure. And then on the list right below that, someone else had spoke out that there would be somebody searching for something or searching for someone. So after talking to some people in our gallery, we decided to go towards Smiley Face Alley. So we went to Crazy Smiley Face Alley. And we were literally right under the big smiley face. And around the corner comes this guy going, like, he's looking for something. And Troy goes, "Hey, are you looking for something?" He's like, "Someone?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah, I'm just looking to see if there's anybody I know here, or, you know, what's going on." He was at some theater thing up the road that just let out. So the team got to just share with him how detailed and how, the Lord was in just searching for him particular on that night. And we showed him the list and how it was smiley faces, and literally written under that was somebody looking for something. And so he admittedly stated, you know, I'm on a search for the truth. I want to know the truth of God. And so the team was just downloading into him, and he goes to Malone. So they shared with him about the Malone Bible study, but he has a class on that night, but left many open avenues for him to seek out and pursue the truth in the Lord and connect with people that can help him there.
Well, Friday night was awesome. There were so many divine appointments, so many divine appointments. And the ones that we're sharing is just like, just a fraction of like the people that got touched. Danny! You're here! Ah, oh, you're so happy! Wait, I have to hug you. I'm so happy. Aw. Oh, I love you. Okay. Well, Friday outreach, when we first got out of the bus, we got out and we were walking down, like, not even a block, and this girl passes by, and I can tell, so obvious that she needs, like, fatherly love in her life. And so just by the way that she was dressing and the people that she was with, it was like, oh Lord, help, you know. And I felt that in my spirit, but I kept walking. And so so we were down there at like this art gallery, and she passed by again, and I was like, oh Lord, help. And so she passed by and she walked away, and then the night was over. And usually, like, I don't like going to Mugs Wigs afterwards, because usually I'm really tired and I want to go and sleep, but that night I was like, no, I really want to go to Mugs Wigs, and I feel like the Lord's telling me this. So I went to Mugs Wigs, and there, lo and behold, she's sitting there talking to this one guy, and I was like, okay, Lord, I am not going to miss this chance. You've given me two chances. So I had three chances, all in all. But so I saw her, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go, and I'm definitely not going to, like, miss out on this opportunity. And so I went and I just like knelt down beside her, and I just told her, I just like looked her in the eyes, and we had a really good like eye connection. And you know, the way that she appeared, you'd think that she'd be really rough and like resistant, but she wasn't. Like, she received so much. She was just looking at me in the eyes, and I just told her what I felt the Lord was saying to my heart about her. And I said to her directly, I said, I feel like you have had a father, but he left you, and he's come back recently, and you just are so upset with any adult figure. You just want to push him down and knock him over, and you just hate them. And she looked at me and she said, that's exactly correct. My dad left me when I was three, and he's come back last week, and I'm so mad at him, and, you know, I just hate him and stuff like that. And so I told her, I just said, you know, God's not like that. He loves you so much. And I just spoke into her, like, all that God is and all that God has for her and who God is. And, you know, fathers on earth will fail us, but he'll never fail us, and that he's after her. And I told her, I saw you two times tonight. God kept telling me to go talk to you, and here I am. And so she was touched, and the guy that she was with was, he overheard everything. And so I'm just hoping that God touched him also. It was good.
Stephanie, Bethany, and I, we walked in the art gallery, and part of the treasure hunt, what was on the list, was a girl in a red dress, and there was lots of other things, but of course we met other people that weren't on the list, because the Lord loves everyone, so they're all a treasure. But specifically, there was a description of a girl in a red dress, and so we walk into this art gallery, and there's somebody standing off in the distance, and she has this sparkly red dress on, and she also had character shoes on, and their dancing shoes. And so I'm looking, and it's actually a dress that I wore in high school for our McKinley Singers group, which is a show choir. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. So I walk up to her, I said, I used to wear that dress, you know, a few years ago. Are you in the McKinley Singers group? She goes, yeah, I am. We just performed tonight. And so there's a really cool connection made there. She knew my sister, Beth, and everything. And it was pretty loud where we were. So I said, well, I've got to tell you something really cool, and it has to do with your dress, and you just got to know about this. So we scooted over to another place where, you know, we could hear each other. And I said, well, we're out tonight, and basically gave her the lowdown about, you know, we're here with the school ministry, Extreme Prophetic, and we're just out here to bless people, to bring the word of the Lord, and to encourage you. Would you be willing to hear what the Lord has to say to you? And she's just smiling, saying yes. And she had a friend with her who was her neighbor as well. And so we're just getting along and kind of talking a little more. And then the mom comes up as well. And so immediately right off the bat, Bethany had a word for her just about purity, and it was really just a blessing to her, and the mom was bearing witness with that as well, just about her life and purity and everything. And then immediately after that, I looked at this girl. Her name's Jessica. I originally thought that she was much younger, but she's actually 28 years old, and by my mistake, her name was Carly. And I felt that she was waiting for that significant, and just really frustrated and then about that. And I told her, I said, the Lord has somebody for you. He's preparing you to be a treasure for that person, and he's preparing that person to be a treasure for you. Just a lot of good stuff about waiting for that one. And the mom standing next to her, she's looking like, oh my gosh, you just said the other day, what is taking so long? Why do I have to, you know, this guy that I'm waiting for or whatever, because she'd been single for 2 years out of a relationship, so that would have been so great. But in the meantime, she's waiting and getting a little frustrated while that was happening. So just able to encourage her in that. And then in addition to that, one more thing. I think Bethany had a word for the mom in the boots about being combat boots in the stuff that she's trudging through in this season about there's a lot of difficult things, and she was right on. It was a word of knowledge, and she was able to encourage her in that. And the mom was just blown away. Literally, they asked us if we were mind readers, if she was a medium and everything. And so we're like, no, we love the Lord, and we're just here to bless you. And so she was like, I am going through a lot right now and everything. And so we asked if they needed prayer for anything. They were all Christians. The mom and the daughter go to a Catholic church, and the other young lady is looking for a church. And they asked us where we go, and so we might see them soon, but they asked, well, what did they say? We said, what do you need prayer for? And they said, well, just pray for peace. Pray for peace for all of us. We just really need peace over all of us and everything. And so I was able to just encourage her about the person of peace and who that is and Jesus and everything. So it was really good, and it was awesome to make a connection with that girl. So, yeah.
I went the other night. I admitted, like, Andy's like, is anyone nervous? And, like, no one could see me because I'm in the very back of the van where, like, we're all, and I was like, hand. And I was really nervous. And then Tiana got the word about the girl in the red dress, and I was like, it is freezing out here. Who in the world is going to be in a red dress tonight? And I, like, we walk into the art gallery, and I was just like, she's right in front of me. And I got a word about that girl. And then we ran into Amelia and Amanda, who often come to get words at our booth. They're pretty known with us. And I got to talk to Amelia, and I gave her a word and got to pray for her because she's just really searching for growth. And she ended up coming last night. And I guess Jamie's been trying to get her come for about a year now. And I was just really blessed that I was able to bring her in, and it was just a huge blessing, and we really had a connection, and I'm really praying that she comes back.
I love testimonies, because the Lord says I'm going to do it again. So he's going to do it right now. Michelle, come on up for a second. Yeah. Yeah. Just ask the Lord what he wants to do, just to prophesy.
Woohoo! It's so funny, the Lord is always ready, even when we're not ready. He's always ready. Well, Lord, yay. Thank you, Lord, that your glory is here, Lord. Which is your goodness. I just see this cloud over this room, and I see glory written in the cloud. So I just thank you, Lord, that your glory, your presence, Lord, increases, Lord. Our hearts are open, Lord God. Our eyes are open. Our ears are open, Lord, for what you want to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what are you saying in this moment, Lord? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're looking at each one of our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just really believe he's quickening my heart again to Jamie's testimony about the girl who was waiting and contending and was frustrated in a season of frustration about that. The Lord's just quickening me to that. And I believe that there may be some hearts that are heavy this morning because you're in a season of waiting and contending, and you feel like it's almost gotten to the point of monotony where you're just not sure if it's going to happen anymore, and you don't feel like contending. Speaking of my own water. I just see a picture of heavy hearts. I see a picture of a heart that's heavy. It's weighty. But you know, the Lord wants to bring us a place where we grow tired of contending, where we trust in Him so fully that we're content in the moment, but we're not frustrated. I just see the heavy heart being lifted. It's just this heavy, like it's like a stone, and it's like when you throw a rock to the bottom of the ocean, it just sinks down, and I see it, the stone cracking, and I see it just rising up and floating right to the top of the water, just floating with this ease. So Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here this morning. Holy Spirit, in you is the power to just create a shift in our hearts, Lord. Father, where we've been contending for something, Lord, where we've been waiting for things, where we've been standing on promises, Lord. Father, that you say, saints, you don't have to be frustrated. You don't have to grow frustrated. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to try to find false comforts in other things to take away from the contending. I'm here for you, and I'm lifting your heavy hearts. So, Lord, I just break off all heaviness, Lord God, in every heart here this morning, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that your hinting breaks every yoke, Lord. And Father, heaviness, Lord, where there's frustration, where there's discouragement, that has turned to bitterness, Lord, that has turned to unbelief. Lord, in Jesus' name, I just pray that those effects would be reversed now, in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, that we cry out to you, Lord, our hearts, Lord God, are your altar, Lord, that we put our hearts on the altar, Lord. No matter what feelings we have, Lord, no matter what, just distant, Lord, or spare. Father, you did not create your saints to walk things, Lord. But Father, you created us to walk in faith, Lord, in hope. Father, in a deep, deep trust, knowing that you're taking care of every situation. So I just thank you, Lord, that every heart this morning is lifted, Lord God, is lifted, is floats to the top of the surface, Lord God. Father, that every heart that's turned hard, Lord, Father, we repent where our hearts have turned hard, Father God, in these situations. Lord, where we've hardened ourselves to you, where we've hardened ourselves. Lord, you've given us words, Lord. You've given us promises, Lord. Those are precious. Lord, those mean something, Father. Father, forgive us where we haven't believed, Lord, or where we've just, Lord, just cheapened, Lord, your promises, your words, Lord God, by not remembering them and not standing on them, Lord. Father, we repent this morning and thank you that you're turning every heart of stone, Lord God, into a heart of flesh. Lord, you're softening us, Lord God. Father, we just trust you, Lord. We say this morning that we trust you, Lord, in every situation. I just believe someone's contending for a family situation that a divorce won't happen. And so, Lord, if that word, I don't know if anyone wants to raise their hand, if that's you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, there will not be a divorce, Lord God. But, Father, that, Lord, that couple, Lord God, will just be reunited, Lord, and refreshed, Lord. In Jesus' name, we break off any divorce, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we nullify it, Lord. It will not happen. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a shift this morning, Father, in our hearts. And Lord, that we trust in you in a new, fresh way today, Lord. We put our full trust in you, Lord. We don't put our stock in anything else but you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
All right. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Andy, where are you? Just stand up. Do you have a word for someone here? Just come on up and put it in the mic. You know, the Lord is so gracious. He's very quick. Not that you're not quick, but he's quick to be able to speak to us and just encourage us to encourage others. And he'll give us a quick picture or word.
I was had a thought earlier that it might potentially go this way. Must be from the Lord. I don't know. I do know. Just for you, Jill, just the sense I was getting from the Lord is that he sees your heart, and he sees your heart, and he sees your heart of perseverance. He sees you as a perseverer, as an overcomer. And I just hear him saying that he's working in you in the process right now. He's working in you a testimony of his faithfulness. And when that testimony comes to full fruition It's going to be something, it's going to be a device and a tool that you're going to be able to use to overcome the enemy, not just in your own life, but in the lives of people that you're around and interacting with. And I just see that released over you of just that you are an overcomer. You are a perseverer, and the Lord's just pleased with your heart that even though sometimes it seems like, well, I can't necessarily get there, He says that you are getting there. You are there in Jesus' name. Lord, we just release that over Jill. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, an anointing, Father, of breakthrough in Jesus' name, Lord, over her. It was, well, it might be for some of you in here, but actually this week on, I think it was Wednesday, at work I was painting, and the actual can of paint that I had, that I was painting out of, dipping my brush in and out of, said breakthrough on the front. It was great. I mean, the Lord's like, can I spell it out for you? It's right here, right next to you. The second one is, I also heard that for you, Danny, and you're here, and bless you. But just what I heard also as well for Jill is for you is just breakthrough, that there's breakthrough that the Lord has for you, and that it's coming in a new way. It's coming in a new, fresh way that has never been done before, and He's just excited to release it to you. So just receive that. And Dan, I see your ears. Well, obviously I can see your ears, but in the spirit I can. Lord, heal our eyes in Jesus' name. I just see your ears, and I just see them hearing the sound of heaven, and it's just increasing. And I just see the Lord taking into a season of not only necessarily hearing the sounds and the rhythm of heaven, but hearing the heart of heaven. Of hearing the heart of heaven, being able to take it on the inside of you, and then being able to release it in various ways. And I think even beyond that, even beyond musical ways, but in songs and in different things that, I mean, obviously a song is music, but the words behind it, in Jesus' name. No, and you, I don't know who you are, but Abby, nice to meet you. Abby. Just a sense like I was getting from the Lord is that He really, really sees your heart of worship, and the sense I'm getting from Him is that He sees how you value your expression of your love to Him, how you value your offering of worship, and He is so blessed by your offering of worship. He says it's a sweet-smelling aroma. And it's almost to the point where He would not necessarily silence other people's, but when you begin to open up your voice and begin to worship Him from your heart, it's like He has your attention. He's just focused in on your heart because He sees it comes from such an amazing, pure place, and He just loves you abundantly.
Ask her what her name means.
What does your name mean? That's awesome. Did everyone hear that? Her name means source of joy. That, wow. That's a powerful name.
Does anybody have a pain in their back? It's on the lower right side. Okay, you do? You do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What the heck? 9, 10. Thank you, Lord. Just stand up and start moving. Pain should be leaving right now. Wow. Guys in the back are standing up because they've been up. Okay. Feeling better? Okay. Who's had their release? Yeah. Put your hand up if you're feeling a release right now. 1, 2. Any other release? 3. Don't you love the Lord? Isn't He good? He's just so good and so easy. Anybody else? Now bend down and touch your toes. Thank you, Lord. If you're able to. Anybody else have a release? Huh? They're feeling better? Did you have pain? Is it gone now or what? How long did you have it?
It kind of comes and... I had a little bit of pain. It kind of comes and goes. It happened the other week when I was in the van and I reached way across to get something and I felt something in my back go like... And I thought, that's not good. But actually, like, the pain kind of comes and goes. Some days I feel it, sometimes I don't. But this morning I was just feeling a little bit. But right now, it's gone.
Thank you, Lord. Just give the Lord praise. Just keep thanking the Lord because he's just releasing that right now. Just a word of knowledge. Okay, anybody been having any pains in their ears at all? Any pains where it's been difficult to hear, scary, or any kind of... Right there, too. Christy, anybody else? Just put your hands on your ears right now. Just thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord for the breakthrough right now. Yeah. How's it feel? Can you hear any better? Is the pain gone? Has there been any ringing? Anything like that? If you notice a change, just wave your hand. That's great. Thank you, Lord. Carrie's being touched by the Lord. Anybody else? Okay. How about a pounding headache? It just comes and goes, but today it really flashed. It really started up again this morning. This morning there was just head pain. Bethany, no? Comes and goes. Abby, you had that too? And you just put your hand on your head. Anybody else with a headache? Just like, what is this? Anybody else? Oh, boy, you're overseas. You get a lot of headaches. Okay, great. Thank you, Lord, for the release. Thanks for the pain leaving right now. Yeah. How's it feeling? Is the pain gone? Huh? The feeling? No pain right now? Can you tell? Is it gone? It's gone? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are we excited about this? This is like a big deal. It's like, whew, it's easy. Anybody else back there? Okay. I heard right knee. Right knee, right? Who is that, Deanne? It's kind of a shadow back. Deanne, Dave, right knee. Anything else? Anybody else? Right knee? Right knee. Just stand up and start moving your knee. That's it. Thank you, Lord. When the prophetic word goes out, the healing's released. So you need to release it or receive it. The Lord's just saying, receive what I'm doing. Yeah. Notice any change, Dave? You do? Is it feeling better? Praise God. Thank you. Deanne, how about you? Huh? I can't hear you. It's improving? Just keep walking around until it's 100%. Okay. Right ankle. Right ankle. Okay, Linda? Right ankle. Okay, Jim? Anybody else? Right ankle. Anne, right ankle. Okay, just start moving it around right now. Healing anointing is flowing in this house. Okay? See if you can stand up and move it. Anne, I was just thinking this past week, I was showing my sister Anne, actually, some videos on the website, and I was looking at the one where you were sitting up here, and you had the same shoes on, and you were pulling your foot back, and you had that healing. So let's just say, Lord, just continue what you started. That's good. Are you noticing a change? Any improvement? Starting to heal? Okay. Anne, any improvement yet? Puffy? Okay, well, puffiness leaf. Anybody else? Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you. Anybody else not feeling well today? Okay, just sweep through them right now, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the refreshment. Thank you, Lord. Just pain's leaving the room right now. If you have pain in certain parts of your body, just touch that part of your body just as a measure of faith. And watch what the Lord's doing. It's just very simple. The Lord does not complicate things. He's really easy. And he's good. All right. Anybody have a release of that pain right now? Release of that pain? Huh? There's one. Okay. Leslie, that's good. Feeling a lot better? Or I don't know what it was. Just your knee? Oh, great. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Release? Okay. Laura? Good. What is it? Pain, anything you can share? Any place? What you saying? A hot poker stick in your spine. Ooh. Okay, is it gone? Poker stick is gone. All right. Yay, God. I like it. You know, we don't need to know what everything is. Sometimes it gives us a very clear word. Other times it just said, just pray and speak and I'll do it. So, Father, we just thank you. Another one? Trash gone? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No trash in his house. Okay, Lord, thank you. Just keep on doing it. The children are released to kingdom land. We're going to have a word this morning about keeping our eyes on the Lord. So go to kingdom land and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, if you would. Thank you, God, for your healings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your words of knowledge. Thank you for the miraculous. It's just above the natural, Lord. And thank you for doing it instantly. You're so amazing. Yeah, we just celebrate you. Look what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony. Thank you for the prophetic words. Thank you, Lord, that it's easy to walk this way. Okay. In your Bible, Luke chapter 9. I love this chapter. I'm just going to highlight some things this morning. How many of us know that the Lord is after our thinking? He's after our minds. How many of us know that? No, for real. How many of us really know that? Only a handful. Okay, I'm just going to wait. You know, we think, no, he's after my heart. And he says, well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he's really after our minds and renewing our minds. He wants our minds to be renewed. It's like a jump charge each day. He's wanting our minds to be able to think clearly so that our heart is really tracking with him and that there's a reflection of his mercy, his goodness, his character through everything that we do and we say. If we are centered and absolutely determined that we're walking in his presence. It's all about your presence, Lord, and it's not just a bunch of words. This is the truth. I am presence-oriented. I am presence-centered. I am presence-focused. Then things will change in our life. They will change because God wants us to change. How many of us know that the Greek word for repentance is metaneo? Anybody ever hear that word? One, two, three, or four, or five, and ten? Okay, can you say that word? Metaneo. Metaneo. Everybody, one, two, three, metaneo. All right. The Lord is saying that when we repent, it's not the big bad, oh, I'm so horrible. It's, you know, we can say, oh my gosh, Lord, I'm conscious of things that are hindering me from you, and wow, I'm wrecked by it, and that's good. But the thing is that the Lord is saying, I want your thinking to be changed. I'm after your mind, and I'm after a change of thinking so we can think clearly. Very, 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 very sure of that. And Jesus is the absolute role model for that because he thought always, very clearly, always spot on, always right on, always in line with the Father, always, always, always being able to pull heaven to earth. It's like, wow, I want to do that. He's the perfect, perfect theology and role model, and he is wanting us to be able to line up with his thinking, with his heart in every way. It comes down to that. So if he's saying, hey, I've got some ankles I want to do some business on. I want you guys to hear it. Can you hear me say right ankle? It's like, yeah, whoa, I want to tap into what you're saying and thinking. Now, our natural thinking that he wants to jump charge and become very supernatural so that we're thinking like he thinks with the mind of Christ. He's saying, I want to show you a pattern of heaven that becomes easier and easier and easier for you. I don't want to make things harder. I want to lighten the load. I want it to become easier for you. I want you to be able to get up in the morning and not go, oh no, another day. Oh, this is horrible. Okay, I'm going to grin and bear it and I'm going to strive and get through and all that. Who wants to live like that? I just want to give up and jump off that boat. If that were what was the deal from Jesus, it's not like that. But he wants to lighten our load so that we can start thinking and responding more clearly so that we are responding to his presence. If we respond to his presence, then we are walking in metaneo territory. You know what metaneo territory is? Clear thinking territory. Our minds can get really muddled. Our minds can become trapped. Our minds can be just, you know, these center places where we think we were just absolutely tracking. I heard God, he's speaking, this makes sense to me, this is what I think and feel, and therefore it is. And, you know, if it's not kingdom, it's not. You know, simple as that. We can't change that. That's just the way God is. And he likes it that way because that makes him happy to be able to continue to release everything into us. I like being a happy person. I'm very happy. And I'm very joyful. Not that everybody believes that or receives that. They don't. They have their opinions. But if they're not submitted to the kingdom of God,
oh, well,
they just don't hold a lot of weight in heaven. They might hold a weight somewhere else in somebody else's thinking. But if it's not what the Lord is saying, and that's not challenged in some way, then somebody else will have a weight that I choose to not carry. That's what the Lord says to us. He wants our weight to be off. He wants our weights to be released. That's what he's wanting to do. He took the weight of sickness away this morning through some prophetic words, easy, some prophetic words of knowledge. Just like, okay, how you doing out there? I'm feeling better. Whoa, God showed up. Why? Because he's already here. His presence is here, and he's saying, I like this bunch. They're centered on my presence. They're kingdom-oriented. They're kingdom thinkers. They're kingdom releasers, at least in name. Which I believe is more than name. But I believe that we're saying, yeah, yeah, here in this house, that's what I am. That's what I am. That's what I am. So the Lord's always wanting to increase that for each one of us so that we're able to say, whoa, I'm hearing from heaven. Wow. And it's making a difference in my life and the people I live with and the people I'm related to and the people I work with. There's a definite difference. There's a shift because I have shown up. Wow. It's a different kind of shift. It's a kingdom shift. So in Luke chapter 9, take a look at this with me. It's a lot of fun. Jesus is actually calling the 12 out. Let's look at the first verse. Okay, and he called the 12 together, verse 1, and he gave them two things. Now check this out. It's really, really important. He gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal disease. I like it. Simple. He called the 12, and this is what he gave them. I'm giving you power. I'm giving you authority over all demons, over all diseases. Wow. I read that verse and go, yeah, okay. That's what I want. That's where I want to go. That's what I want to do. I'm sure they did too. But that's what he did. I mean, the Bible said he gave to them. Now, when he gives, what's our job? To receive. So it's like, all right, did they have a working knowledge of this? Did they understand what God was really doing, what Jesus was doing? Did they understand fully? Probably in part. And the Lord says, I want to show you how I think, and I'm going to show you when you're walking with me how you can start thinking, and you'll change. You'll change. Over time, you'll change more and more, and you'll think like me, you'll talk like me, you'll sound like me, because I'm Jesus. And these are my disciples. These are my followers. And they're all different. They have all different personalities. They have gifts and talents and abilities, and they're different people. But he believed in them, and he was always in a good mood, and he was happy, and he was fun. Even when he was rebuking and correcting and chastening and pruning. Jesus says he can't be anything but good. So these guys got to live with him and walk and talk and trek with him, which is really fun. And in verse 2, it says that he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. All right, two things. Proclaim the kingdom, perform healing. So, huh? Is that the same thing? No, it's two different things. Proclaim the kingdom. Proclaim, proclaim, proclaim. What does that mean? Stand in a street corner and go proclaim? Maybe for somebody. Maybe not for somebody else. But wherever they would go, they would carry the proclamation of the kingdom of God. So he was all about saying, hey, dudes, I want you to understand the kingdom. I am the kingdom, so you're going to walk with me, become like me. You are being kingdomized by being in my presence. Now, I'm going to leave, and the Holy Spirit's going to really take over, you know, because I got to go up and be with Dad and everything. So I'm going to be with you for a short while. But in this season, you're going to learn the things that I want to teach you to a certain point. And then the Holy Spirit's coming. It'll be like I never left. But he will live on the inside of you all the time. So you're going to have this amazing relationship with the Holy Spirit. But while you're here, I want you to look into my eyes. And after I go, I want you to look into my eyes. Huh? Okay. Just follow me. I'll show you what it looks like. So he's just modeling, you know, what it's like to be a kingdom thinker and believer and to proclaim the kingdom and to do what? Perform healing or cure people. And I was like, wow, okay, that's really good. All right, well, he gave them the authority, gave them the power. And he says in verse 3, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff nor a bag, nor bread nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Well, some people who really don't have kingdom ears and kingdom eyes have taken verses like that and went, oh, you're not listening to me. Be gone with you, you know. The dust is off and I'm going. But really the Lord is wanting to show them that they are carrying him and not everyone will receive them. Okay, so the way he took them was to say, come on, let's go, come on down. You know, door number one, two, or three, I'm all of them. And I'm calling you down. You're not going to wait. If you're on that Prices, or whatever show that was, is it Prices, right? Whatever it was. And that, you know, you're not going to wait and say, I'll be right there just a minute. I have to make a phone call. It's like, no, you're going to run down and you're going to run down and you're going to go after him. And that's really what he's saying. I'm calling you to go after me with full power, full authority, and full assurance. And I'm with you. Don't receive these people who don't receive you in verse 5. Don't worry too much about it. Just keep going. So there's going to be a lot of pitfalls. There's going to be a lot of places that are going to be rough. There are going to be people who you say, white, and they go, that's not right. What? You're going to say, you know, this is what I'm hearing from the Lord. I don't think so. The most challenging people, I really believe, for the disciples were the Pharisees, were the people who actually thought that they were hearing God and told them so, and they're sensitive to spiritual matters because they live with Jesus. They're becoming like Jesus. It's like, wow, most difficult. Somebody who's not God conscious at all, okay, fine. They're living out of that nature, and you have to kind of discern that. But those who are living out of at least some attempt of saying, I want to honor God, those are challenges for each one of us to be able to know the difference. And the Lord is saying, the only way that you will know my voice is to live out of my presence and have responses from my presence. Rather than reacting out of your feelings, reacting out of what makes sense to your mind alone, in other words, not kingdomized by God, by Jesus, by Holy Spirit, by Father, but speaking out of what makes logical sense. So if the Lord is saying, I'm after your mind, I want to renew your mind every single day so that everything that we are embracing as we have these brilliant minds that are thinking always. You get up in the morning and you're on, you know, 5 different plans for the day. What should I do? For some, maybe. Maybe others, not so many. But the Lord is saying, if you're tracking with me, if you're really close to me, if you sense me, there's a better opportunity for you to be able to hear what I'm saying so we can walk together and partner together. We can walk together in the cool of the day. That I will be led by your presence, Lord. And the Lord teaches us. He models that for us and shows us how we can do it. So he's setting these guys up. Well, he's sending them out. He's saying, okay, you've got me, go. All right. So soak and go. Know me and go. Doesn't mean you have to go elsewhere, but maybe so. What the Lord is saying, you need to hear my voice, not just what makes sense to you. And he gives us all kinds of leeway. He's not this taskmaster. What do you want to do? Oh, I want to do that. Oh, okay. What do you think, God? Well, what do you think? Oh, what do you think? Well, what do you think? So we're learning to know how he thinks. We're learning to know his mind. We're learning to move with the rhythm of his heartbeat. It's this romantic. It's just a beautiful dance. You're dancing with the Lord through life, making decisions with him together and hearing him and just knowing that he's going, that was just so much fun. I just love that. I walked in, you guys, many of you know that I was able to go back to my hometown when I grew up as a little girl in a suburb outside of Chicago this past week for a few days with my sister Anne. Some of you know that from Tuesday night. And he's All right. I don't know. I came in this morning and people came up to me and they said, so did you get in your house? It's like, I said, of course. Oh, it's so cool. Yeah, well, lots of stories on there. Just divine appointment, doors open, favorite carte blanche. It was really nice. So it was very good. But we had some really cool things that happened, and one of them was wanted to get this smoothie thing down next to this old theater that was down there. I mean, like the old-time theaters with the lights going in old towns, you know. And it's still there. And now there are 10 different theaters in that place, but the original one is still there. So anyway, before we walked over to just kind of walk in there and go, oh my gosh, I spent a lot of time in here. This is really, really fun. Walked over to get a smoothie. Well, walked in, and it's a new age smoothie joint. And, you know, just aware of the atmosphere, really aware. Like, walked in going, oh, yeah, already then. So I realized there are a lot of people in, or some people in here who may not be tracking with the same spirit I am. It's possible. And so I was asking the Lord about that, but I was aware of the dynamics at that time. And I was kind of, I just had this sense, you know. And then I looked up on the board and saw, you know, things like Nirvana Nectar and Karma Carmelite, you know, smoothie and things like that. It was like, well, that was a little bit clearer to me now that those were some, you know, buzzwords for the New Age movement for some. So I was asking the Lord, which one do you want me to talk to? This is so fun because we all need you. Who do you want me to talk to? And he said, that one right there. So, oh, okay. So it's just like easy. You know, it's not, I wasn't going in thinking I'm going to, you know, and the New Age movement by going and getting a smoothie. I was just kind of thinking, I can do something fun here. So walked in there, and there's this girl, and she's waiting on me and everything. And, you know, I told her it was my birthday. And she goes, oh, that's great. Happy birthday. Yeah. And I said, oh, and I got my smoothie. And I said, I would really, oh, I forgot. I would really like some yogurt. And I was willing to pay for it. She goes, for you? It's free. I said, oh, thank you. So she put yogurt in there, and we're talking. And I said, you know, I just want, I have a word for you. And she looked at me and said, yeah. And I said, Jesus is real. He talks to me all the time. She goes, he does? And I said, yeah, he talks to me. And I said, he wants me to tell you something about you. Really? And she was like, well, this is cool. And I said, yeah, he's alive. And he lives in heaven next to the Father. He's alive, and his spirit is here, and his spirit lives in me. Whoa. And I said, and he wants you to know him. He's so amazing. All you ask him, just come. Just come and live inside. I want to give you my life. She goes, really? And I said, yeah, it's not hard. And he wants you to know that he's really pleased with you. He loves you. He really cares about you. You've got a lot of compassion, of feelings for other people. Her eyes are just like, oh, whoa. You know, just like, this is great. I love hearing these good things about myself. So I was telling her, I said, there's really a big call in your life, and I really believe that God is after your heart. I didn't say after your mind to them, to her. After your heart. And he's just calling you to himself. And she was just so drawn by this word. And I said, so you can do that anytime. You can go home. You know, it's just the Spirit of God. You want to invite him in to you because he does amazing things. So anyways, telling her that. And so I turn around, and I start walking out the door, and my sister grabs her. It's so funny. And she says, you really need to listen to what she's saying. She travels around the world, and she hears things, and she sees things. And these things that she sees, they're amazing, the big things. So, and this girl is like, it's like, oh, yay, God, that was good. So that was one thing. So we go next door, you know, just to see this little theater. This is just one little fun thing. And that we had grown up and gone to. And I'd grown up as a strong, devout, at that time, very devout Catholic, and got into our Catholic grade school and got a tour and all that kind of stuff. And we just lived in a very cool area, loved the people, and I was really blessed growing up. And so one of the things that we did is we marched, always marching in order, you know, but marching to this theater. We'd march downtown. It wasn't very far. So I was telling them that. And as I walked in, this lady with cerebral palsy walks, you know, just kind of comes up like this. Oh, my heart. It was like, Lord, you're going to heal her. This is just so cool. I said, hi, can I pray for you? She goes, oh, yes, please. But I have accepted the way I am, and I like myself now. I said, oh, I'm so glad. God likes you too. He loves you, as a matter of fact. But he really wants to bless you today. And I just want to pray for you. And she was all about it, so we prayed for her. And I was telling her, I said, you know, my sister here, yeah, there's this dead kid when he was 17, and she just went over and prayed over him, and he came back to life. She's like, what? And I said, yeah. It was really not hard for God. God just did this for her. for this boy, and now he was 17, and she just prayed over him, was led to do that, and he's alive. She goes, whoa. And I said, you know, I was dying, actually, and I was given new lungs, and I'm a sign and a wonder, which means that, you know, I'm alive here to be able to tell you this, you know, that Jesus loves you so much. So we prayed for her, and she was actually one of the workers there. And she had a little bit of a change and just told her that when she got up tomorrow morning to really check and see how she was doing. And I didn't see the actual manifestation in fullness at that point for her. But she said to the people who worked there, she goes, hey, these girls just want to go see the old theater. Let them in. So we just walked in, you know, while Puss in Boots was going on and just looked around and everything. Just really fun, you know, just things like that that happened. A lot of different things where we were picking up the atmosphere of what the Lord wanted to do at that time. That's really what he's saying. When we're presence-centered, our eyes are on Jesus, that's going to happen. Now, let me show you what happened to the disciples, because this is where it kind of, you know, this may be where we can identify some things for ourselves. In verse 6, all of a sudden it says, departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel. They're doing their job. And healing everywhere. Okay. They were marked. They were sent out. Yay. They did what they're supposed to do. Preaching the gospel. Healing everywhere they went. Not just when they were going out on an outreach. They were preaching the gospel everywhere. And healing as well. So verse 7 says, now Herod the Tetrarch, like all of a sudden, what? Why do I want to hear about Herod? There's a reason. Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening and he was greatly perplexed. It's like, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, because Jesus had quite a track record now, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again. And Herod said, I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. So who is this man? This is the question of Herod. And I found it really interesting. I was kind of reading this again going, yeah. So who is this man? And God was saying, you know, Herod is certainly no respecter of persons, and he didn't care who anybody was, and he's going to slash whatever and whoever he wanted. But he was intrigued by Jesus because he was a man performing signs and wonders. He was a man who was doing things that nobody else was doing. Maybe some of the court magicians, but nothing like Jesus. And now, nothing like the disciples starting. So he really wanted to. So all of a sudden, in the middle of Acts chapter 9, or Luke chapter 9, we have Herod mentioned. It's like, oh, why is that important? I think the Lord was setting them up. I think the Lord's setting us up. He's saying, I want you to think like me. I want you to know me. I want you to walk with me in this way so that when I tell you, preach the kingdom and heal everywhere you go, you're going to preach and teach and heal. That's what Jesus did. Everywhere he went, wherever he went, the kingdom was manifest. Like, wow. So there was no negativity. There was no criticism. There was no judgment. There was no heartache. You know, you just make the list. You know, all the things that we know that we don't want to be or do. None of that. That's not kingdom. He was saying, wherever you go, be kingdom. Wherever you go, release kingdom. Wherever you go, sense the atmosphere of kingdom, even in the darkest spots, because you carry the kingdom of God within. It's a big deal. And Herod just wanted to see who this dude was. Who is this Jesus? So, oh, I love it. Verse 10, when the apostles returned, they gave an account of him to all that they had done. Taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. I always thought that was funny, you know. He withdrew by himself, but he's with all the guys. I'm by myself. Come on, guys. I'm going to pray alone, but come on, guys. And I'm sure there were times when they weren't around at all, but it's interesting that he wrote it that way. Verse 11, but the crowds were aware of him and followed him, and welcoming them. So here is Jesus, tracking everywhere, welcoming them. He began speaking to them about what? The kingdom. Wow. And then he cured those, my version says cure, curing those who had need of healing. So he did both. So here we have a picture in this verse with exactly what verse 2 said. Verse 1 and verse 2 at the beginning of this chapter. And here's Jesus once again modeling this. He's saying, guys, you can do this. I am not going to set you up. I am going to do something I can't, you don't think you can do. It's not going to be that hard. It's like, well, it feels like it. I'm always doing this, and I'm always doing this, and I'm always doing this, and it just feels so hard. Well, not that it's not a stretch. I don't mean that. But the Lord said, I'm going to, as you contain me, yield to me, and release the kingdom, you're going to do what you were created to do. And I think there's a lot of frustration in the body of Christ because some of us aren't doing what we were created to do, which is heal, teach, release the kingdom as we're resting in his presence. If we're doing what Jesus is saying as we're becoming more like him just by resting in his presence, then if we don't become doing machines, we become beings. But then we're doing what we were created to do, because Jesus would pray and then he would continue on wherever he was. And he'd always welcome the crowds. I mean, this guy is just master. He's just so nice. Welcoming them, verse 11, he began speaking to them about the kingdom and curing them. Okay, then you all know the story of the 5,000. Everybody knows this. And this is one of the first examples here. Now mark it, if you would, if you're taking notes. It says, now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away. Now here's the crowd. Here are the disciples saying, send the crowd away. The verse right before that, what did it say? He welcomed the crowd. Okay, so they say to him, send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for here we are in a desolate place. All right, to me, and I want to just offer this to you to chew on for a while, because I have chewed on this going, wow, I can just see, you know, the thoughts coming to me. It makes perfect sense that this is what I should do. What they're saying, is there anything wrong with what they're saying? That's a tough question. It's like, well, if I say yes, and, you know, if I say no. But the question is, they're saying what makes sense to their mind, to their thinking. It's logical. I mean, who wouldn't think that this is what you should do? But somehow they weren't able to, they didn't walk with the mind of Christ that the Bible says that we have. Because Jesus immediately, the next verse said, not so fast, boys. That's just not my plan, Sam. I want to follow your plan, Sam. And so, if we're following his plan, it's like, wait a minute here. I thought he said, I can do whatever I feel like doing. Well, we can. But there's a better way. Now, that's the clincher. That's what we don't hear sometimes. Yeah, do what you want. It's fine. He's fine with it. Do it. Hey, cool. But we want his very, very best where we're going to be able to track and shine and such with him. So everybody wants that. He's like a good daddy. I want to give you the best. I want to release the best with lots of different choices. It's not saying he's a taskmaster and you're locked in. I'm not saying that. Don't say, well, she's saying it better be this way or the highway. No, I'm saying that the Lord definitely saw beyond what the disciples saw. He saw beyond. He saw the needs. He knew what they needed. He said, come on, guys, I know what you need. I'm going to perform a miracle because you're not quite tracking there yet. Even though I tell you, feed them. You do it. And then he ends up showing them how to do it. Okay? But if he would have listened to them and their buds, I mean, they respected him, I'm sure. But at that moment, this is really pivotal. At that moment, the disciples did not recognize the anointing. They did not. Even though they meant well, they were just getting his back, looking out for Jesus, of course, the Lord knew more. They didn't recognize. So what was given here? Now, wait a minute. I thought we just read that power and authority were given to these guys. And the answer is yes. But they were walking in what they thought was their authority with not a whole lot of power, aka/anointing. Think about that for just a minute. It's like, whoa, wait a minute here. Can't they make mistakes? Well, we all do. Yeah, that's not my point. The point is, the anointing was not tracking where they were with Jesus at that moment because they didn't have eyes to see. They didn't have ears to hear at that moment. But Jesus didn't get mad at them. He just said, okay, boys, I'm going to show you what to do. But I want you to see that this is very, very significant because I welcomed everybody. Did you see that? No, they didn't get it. They didn't see. They're saying it's time for you to do what makes sense because, come on, you're the leader and I'm protecting you. It's my job. Oh, hang on 1 second. I got a smudge going here. And I don't want to miss any words. That's better. Okay. All right, so that just intrigues me. Verse 12. It's like, Lord, show me where I'm telling you what to do. Show me where I'm priding myself that I'm walking with what makes sense to me. Show me where maybe the anointing on my life is not flowing with who you are right now. Doesn't mean I'm bad. It means I just need to grow. Okay? Because the Lord tells us he doesn't want us to grieve the Spirit of God, and he doesn't want us to quench the Spirit of God within. Well, that means that the Spirit of God within rises, partners with us, and leads us and guides us together. It's a partnership. I love that. It's like, wow. And so I grow in that understanding. It doesn't say that some of the disciples were saying, Jesus, I'm tracking with you. No, they all came together and they came into agreement. And really, how many of us know that we only need agreement with one other person? And even if we don't have agreement with someone else, that just empowers the negativity. Can you imagine 12 of them? 12 of them being empowered, saying, what do you think? Doesn't that make sense? I mean, come on. And Phil says, yeah, I think that makes sense. Come on, we're not going to do that now. This is what we need to do. It's like, whoa. And Jesus, because he's so close to them, just rises up and says, you give them something to eat. He tells them to do it. It's like, what? He gives them opportunity to say, how? What? How do, would you, what? Excuse me? I got to back up here. And they said, we have no more. And they go back into the natural mode. This is what they did because that's all they saw. They go back into the natural mode and they say, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless perhaps we go and buy food for these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, all right, here's what you need to do. Have them each sit down, eat in groups at about 50 each. So he gave them some direction because they weren't sure, but they were talking to him. Okay? They're now not going to take them and whisk them away. Come on, let's go. No. Now they're starting to track again and they're asking questions. But I would venture a guess here that some of them are now realizing, oops, there's a better way. I didn't see it, but I want to. So now they're asking questions, recognizing that the anointing, the power to be able to walk and see and to know that there's going to be something coming up wasn't as strongly released at that point as he wanted it to be. The Lord set them up, but he didn't set them up for failure. He set them up for victory. Think about that. He's always setting us up for victory. Even if we make a mistake and we stumble, he's saying, remember the word metanoia, which they didn't know? Just have a change of thinking. And that will lead you to go, what was I thinking? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have felt that or expressed it that way. This makes sense to me. I know, but is it kingdom? Well, I don't know, but this is just how I feel. I know, but is it kingdom? So he gives us the opportunity to succeed, always. He's never setting us up for failure because he's so good. He's so good all the time. That's what I like. He's just a happy, happy God. So fun. Okay, so they did so. Look at verse 15. They started to track back going, okay, yeah, you're showing me something. I'm learning. And he had all of them sit down and they took the loaves and they did what they were supposed to do. And they all ate, verse 17, and they were satisfied. And we're all reading that going, yeah, the miracle took place. Look at the process for the miracle to take place in verse 17 and 18. Verse 18, and it happened that while he was praying alone, The disciples were with him again. I love it. It's like, explain that. I don't understand. And he questioned them, saying, who do the people say that I am? Who do they say that I am? Who do they say that I am? No, whoa, wait a minute. Didn't we just have this thing with Herod the Tetrarch saying, who is this dude? Who is this guy? Wait, I got rid of John the Baptist. Elijah's not here. I mean, who is he? And so Jesus demonstrates his wonderfulness and his care, his compassion, not just for the people, but for the ones who are doing the stuff. He says, I'm training you up to do this stuff. I'm not going to be here. And you need to do it. And you have eyes to see. If you will stay really close to me, and you will determine that you're going to move, breathe, speak out of my presence, you're going to be okay. You'll make fewer blunders. You might make some, you know, learning. There's some learning curves for all of us. That's okay. God likes that. You know, we don't go out and buy our 2-year-old child a 10-speed. I mean, that's just dumb, right? So he understands that we're going to be learning, 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 and he loves that about us. But there are some things that we can accelerate and grow into a little more quickly when we are willing to say, maybe I have not metaneoed myself. Maybe there needs to be a change of thinking on some realms, in some realms. And what I have seen, what I have felt and seen and declared, you know how we are. We're all trying to do that. Needs to change. And I need to listen to really what you're wanting and saying, what the kingdom is saying. I love that about him. So, when he said, who do they say that I am? What are the people saying? Who do they say that I am? They answered and said, verse 19, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and or prophets that have risen again. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, you know, was up there, and he said, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the Christ of the risen God, or the Christ of God. And Jesus was saying, Peter, you don't even know what you're saying right now. He didn't say that, but he's looking at him going, I want you to remember that. I want you to know, because you just verbalized that. You verbalized that because you're in my presence and you're responding. You're responding in a kingdom way. Do you understand? And you want to hold fast to that, because if you don't, you're going to make some decisions that are going to cost you and others. You don't have to do some of those things or think some of those ways. And it's not because he's this God going, don't quench me, don't grieve me. No, he's saying that when we hinder or halt or, you know, put on the brakes by his spirit working inside of us, because there's nothing but love that works through us when it comes to his spirit. When he says, my kingdom works through you, he says, anything of me will always be amazing. Nothing less than that. So anything other than that, I just want to shoo it out. I want a clean house. That's all. That's all I mean, really, by turning away and changing my thinking. I just say, come on. I don't want you to stay in mindsets that are going to bring you more pain. Isn't that a loving God? I don't want you to stay in mindsets that are going to bring others pain. Why? In friction. And you got all kinds of things that are complicated. So it's like, leave me alone. I'm going to think what I want because I feel safer that way. And Jesus says, yeah, but I'm really safer than how you're feeling. You think you're feeling safe, but I'm safer. And when we come to know him that way, he says, just spend time with me. Get to know me and how I think. Watch me. Watch me work. I can work a room. You know, Jesus says, watch me work, boys. 5,000, no problem. Watch this. I'll give you a chance to do it again and again and again and again and again. I don't make it so hard. So gentle and loving, isn't it? Verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. What? Peter had to respond, this is who I believe you are. And even though the word was given out, this is what's going to happen to me, Peter. You're not going to get it yet, baby boy. But I'm going to release it because you will remember this and you will be able to draw on this. Remember, I'm the one that looks ahead. I'm the one that sees the crowd that needs the deliverance and the healing and the provision. I'm the one who has the full anointing. I'm the one. And it's not that I'm looking down saying you're not, but I'm letting you know that I'm trying to grow you up so that you can think with me and flow with me and breathe with me and work with me. Because I'm going to be gone in a little bit. And soon there's going to be the Spirit of God in you, and He's going to train and track with you that way as well. And you'll affect a whole lot more people, because remember, I gave you power and I gave you authority. There are a whole lot of people walking around with a lot of authority. They're lacking power, because the power is released and embraced through encounter. When we encounter, now catch this part, when we encounter the Lord, when we're whisked up to worship Him and praise Him and spend time with Him and get to know Him and see Him as Dad and see Jesus as our best friend and Holy Spirit and come to know His voice and learn to lay down and be quiet and be still, then His presence, the encounter through His presence rising up in me and where I am, changes the atmosphere, and my thinking starts to change. God designed it that way. I want your thinking to change. If we left here thinking, I want my thinking to change, wow, wouldn't that be great? That might, you know, we might have to say, maybe this is my opinion. But if my opinion isn't your opinion, my opinion doesn't hold any water. And it can do damage to me and to others as well. You know. So He's trying to help these guys out because He knows what's coming. Oh, I love it. And when he was saying to them all, verse 23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Okay, now this is a very familiar verse. I would venture here another posture of thought that everyone has heard that before. Most everyone has heard that before. But He's saying here that if you want to follow me, if you want to come after me anyway, you want to come after me, you want to track with me, put it in lingo that we can understand. Deny yourself. Now, I came from a Catholic background myself where the denial as a little child, I didn't understand any of it. Don't eat meat on Friday and don't do this and don't do that. And I got set free of all that, which is great. And I'm not saying it's evil. I'm saying that for me, I didn't meet God that way. That was their rules and that tradition as such. But for me, I didn't know Him until I was in my mid-20s. I mean, really, being able to say, okay, I know You now. And I was able to share that with some good people from my past as well this past week. If you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself. It's like, what? That means we have to be willing to put ourselves down, if you would, and take up our cross daily. That sounds mean if we don't know the Lord. It's like, I don't think I like this too much. But if we really want to crucify the flesh, which is what it's actually telling us, we're saying, Lord, You died and You rose for me. I'm born again and I know that. And I've been taught, at least in glory school or in freedom class, I should say, in freedom class, that even my flesh died at the cross. Oh, wow. So why am I walking in the flesh doing fleshly things? Because I'm choosing to not walk in the crucifixion of my flesh. I'm choosing to not. I can. And then I can follow You. I take up your cross, which means the cross of salvation, which means all the benefits, the bennies, you know, the power, the authority, the good stuff. It's not like carrying this horrible cross and I'm going to be miserable. I don't like prayer meetings like that. It's just a bummer. Come on. We have been given so much. We have been released to a place of grace where the Lord says, if you knew what I thought about you, what I think about you, how amazing you were and are, you would be just shouting it from the mountaintops, because there's nothing but wonderfulness that I see in you and about you. I gave you the gifts and the talents and the abilities. I gave you everything, and this love is amazing. I even took the flesh away when you came to know me. I erased everything from the east and the west. It's under the blood, all the sin, the sickness, everything's gone. Your bennies are great because I'm a good God and I love you. Let's have some fun. Yeah. And so if there's anything that's not in that camp, doggone it. Let's kick it out, you know? That's really what He's saying in a much nicer way. I like God. I don't know about you. Christianity is fun. There's a lot of hurting people out there who don't know that He's really that good. And He's saying, you need to go tell them, Peter. Peter's not in here, but you need to go tell them. Go tell them how good I am. Okay, they don't have any food, go get some. Call it down. Yesterday's manna is no good today. Get some fresh bread. Lay down and be quiet and soak in my presence and then go. Wouldn't that be fun? As a lifestyle, and that's what he's saying. But we've got this problem with our thinking because he's after our minds. So to sum it up, there she goes. She's summing it up. Whoa. I don't know if I believe her.
I've heard that before. Everybody's looking at their watch going, yeah.
Okay. I love it. Verse 24, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? The Lord says, you want to be true to yourself. How many of you ever said that before? I've just got to be true to myself. I've got to tell you this. Or I've got to do this. I mean, me? Am I the only one? Got to be true to myself. This is what I feel. This is what I know to be true. But what if it's not? The Lord says, I want you to be true to who you really are in me, kingdom-wise. That's who I want you to be true to. And the rest can change. And if we decide that there is absolutely no threat from the Lord, he's not standing over us going, you're not going to be able to make it. You're not, you know, smart enough, pretty enough, good enough, brilliant enough, talented enough, gifted enough. You're not enough. There's no kingdom in that, and that's not kingdom. If you think that, you're being lied to. Amen. It's true. And the Lord says, let's boot that lie out too, because I have something so much better than that. I love this. I keep saying I love it because I do. But whoever is ashamed of me, verse 26, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who won't taste death until they see the kingdom of God. So it's like, oh, wow. Well, all of a sudden we shift. Whoop. We go to the transfiguration. Jesus is all lit up in the glory. And, you know, he's teaching them as he goes along. And he tells all these guys, two men were talking to him, Moses and Elijah, in verse 31. Verse 31 says, who appearing in glory were speaking of the departure which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. And let's end it with 32. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they were awakened now. Okay, so they're snoozing with this great release of glory. They saw his glory and the two men standing with him. But they still missed something. Maybe a couple more verses. And as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, do you want us to make three tabernacles for you? How about one for Moses and Elijah? What do you think? Sound like a plan? Once again, he kicked into his natural mind. Then a voice came out of the clouds saying, this is my son. Listen to him. Can you imagine? Put yourself in their shoes. It's like, oh, whoa, listen to him. But Jesus is saying all the way along as he's modeling these things, listen, just listen. Listen, see me with new eyes. Listen to me with new ears. But if you approach me with, I want to change my thinking. You have my heart. I love you. But I'm willing to change the way that I think. It will change I believe it'll change our lives. And it will increase us to be able to listen to someone and say, that's not the Spirit of God. Or that is the Spirit of God. Because he designs us to be able to do that. And go, whoa. It's not just, oh, well, you know, she always says that or he always says that. You know, it's actually the Spirit inside going, no, the power is being released through you. I gave you power and authority, but it's being released through you. The anointing is being released through you to make a difference. To close on 40 and 41, I'm trusting. I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not. There was a demonized kid that needed some deliverance. And this man said, come on, help me, dudes. 41, Jesus said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with with you. Bring your son here. Now that sounds kind of rough, but come on. If Jesus equipped them, he equipped them. He wasn't yelling at them, saying, okay, I gave you power and authority, what's up? No, there wasn't an ability for that to be released. Let me show you how to do it again. But he's letting them know that their thinking was perverted. And when Jesus did this miracle in 43, it says they were amazed at the greatness of God. And while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, here's what he said. Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of man. As they had, I'm going to leave you with the last verse. As they had revelation of Jesus and training with Jesus, they actually became pretty zealous and a little bit full of themselves. You know, I've got gifts, talents, abilities. I've got things going on. I can do the stuff. But they became rather proud and arrogant at times. And so in verse 46, they started bickering amongst themselves because they were jealous of each other. They were jealous of each other's anointing. Who's the greatest? Who's the least? I'm better. I did this. And they jumped away from releasing self and putting their eyes basically on what they were doing, their works. They became very work-oriented in verse 46. Again, they needed a change of thinking. Wait a minute. That's not the God I serve. I'm not going to work my way into acceptance. He's going to love me because he's God and I'm not. So he says, an argument started among them as to which might be the greatest, and Jesus knew it. Look at verse 47, what they were thinking in their heart. And he said, please, don't do this. Don't go this way. You do not know, verse 35, what kind of spirit you are of. It's like, what? And that's tied in with some other verses, and because of the time, we're not going to go through the whole chapter. I really want you to think about this because we're going to listen to a song, just kind of listen and meditate. I was quickened today. I don't think I've ever heard it. And it was from a CD. It's from a CD called Found. Because you know how people, we go after the lost. I like to say we like to help people be found. You know, there are people who are lost and we want them to be found. But this is the last song I was listening to on the way over here today. And the guy who wrote it, we met this summer. And that's Heidi and Rollins' son-in-law, and his name is Brock Human. He's a really nice guy. We were out there in June in Mexico. We were with them. And Crystalline, many of you know, and she was there with her husband. And I was talking to Brock, and I said, well, tell me what you do. You know, tell me about your band. And he's got this band, United Pursuit, I think it's called. And then somebody had told me, I didn't piece it together until that. Somebody there at the table said, well, you know, he wrote a lot of the songs in the Found CD that many of you, if you support Iris at all, you were probably given as a monthly giver or whatever. So anyway, if you got that last year at Christmas time, it's the last one on that CD. And it's called, if you can read the exact title, I don't remember the exact one, but it's I Want to See with Your Eyes. Do you see it there, number 8? Give me your eyes. And it's real simple, really simple. And I was listening to that. I was asking Holy Spirit on the way over here. I said, I just feel like I'm supposed to play a song at the end. So I picked this thing out of my car pocket, you know, and I just looked at the back and just went to 8. And it was like, whoa, is that the best one for now? And I just had this peace like, yeah, that's a good one. Good job. Okay. So we're going to play that. And I'm just inviting you just to say, Holy Spirit, I know you. And if you don't know him today, there are some in here I don't know. If you don't know him today, you can invite him into your heart right now and just say, hey, I want to know you, Jesus. I'm believing that you did die for me and you raised for me, and I want to come into your family. I want to come into your kingdom. And you'll be saved. That's how I got saved. Just like that. That means that you will have new life and you will come into a relationship with God. And if you want to talk more about it, we can. But those of us who do know him, I would invite you to just say, Holy Spirit, I want a change. I want breakthrough. You know, I heard the word breakthrough that Andy gave today, but I believe that's for everybody in here. That's for everyone. I think we all need. Who wants a breakthrough in their life? Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. And some of us may think, oh, you don't realize the breakthrough I need. Well, I'm not God, but he does. He knows exactly what we need. And if we're willing to match up with his heart and his mind and his thoughts and see him with different eyes, he'll just do it. He'll start doing that. He'll start taking, you know, the things out that hurt us and hinder us, and we'll see him in different light. He just wants us to look at him with new eyes. And so this is the change of thinking that metanoeo actually means. This is called, the Greek word metanoeo means to change your mind, to change your thinking. Oh, maybe I thought that. And you might have to go repair some things. There may have been some things that you took under, you know, in your own strength to do, or you may have to change things up. Sometimes we think we're doing the gospel of the kingdom because people are responding, and you know, it's just like, you know what, that's still your own stuff, because that's a need in you, rather than that's really what I was directing. So I think we all need to do this. I'm right with you, saying, Lord, I want my thinking to be changed. I want to see with your eyes on every situation what I need to do, what's best, because you see beyond tomorrow. You see beyond next year. You see beyond 5 years from now. Ooh. I may not get all of that. Maybe I will. But I want to see with your eyes. So let's just do business with him in a good way. Just this rest. Let's just, after this song, I'll close in prayer. If there's anything you need to lift up to him, remember he's a good God. He heals, he saves, he delivers, and he just loves us so, so much. So you want to play that? Father, thank you that you are our encourager today, and that you always have our back, that you care so much about us, and that you desire that we are strengthened and we're ready to go on for the next. Lord, that we can just do the stuff and go out there and know that you have empowered us, that you've strengthened us, that you have released your anointing in us and through us, and you just want to increase us on every front. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can learn from these examples of how faithful you are, and that you just continue to release us into great new things, Lord, to expand your kingdom, and that we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be second-guessing ourselves. We can step out, even if we make mistakes. We we can step out with your power and your strength. We just want to stay close and listen and hear you and know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, if there's any doors that have been open that we didn't even recognize. You may have even given us just a little thought. Thanks that they're closed right now. Thank you, Lord, that we're being empowered and strengthened even more to get up and take that football and go for the touchdown. And just go for it, Lord, knowing that we're going to make mistakes, but knowing that you have our back and that you are increasing us on every front. Thank you, Lord, that every person would leave today feeling as though they're $1 million. In your eyes, because we're looking in your eyes, and your eyes tell the truth. Your eyes don't lie, and you have nothing but good things to say to us. Nothing but good. Everything comes out of your mouth is good. I like that. Father, that every person would be just leaving here, flying with on wings of hope and strength and vitality. Not with their head down, their heads looking up. Because you're saying, who do you say that I am? Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we will allow you to renew us every day. Renew our thinking every day. That's what we want. You don't want us going down any slippery slope. You want us to go down that ski hill and just fly. And to think we can do anything. How many of us in here think, I can do anything? I can just do anything. I put my mind to, empowered by the Lord. Just put your hand in the air if that's you. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. It gives me strength. I can do all things. Father, I thank you for new boldness and courage today with the renewing of our minds. It's a daily gift. Thank you, Lord God, for new strength, new courage, new boldness, just falling on this house, on every person in here. Every person in here just feeling emboldened and empowered and strengthened to be able to go and run that extra mile and just take it and run that race with a vigorous type of feeling inside. Thank you, Lord. Wow. I saw a big bucket of boldness and strength and courage. It's just crazy. Sometimes I see things with just the words right in front of my eyes. And just this huge, huge bucket just being poured here. You ever see somebody that was going in one of those dunking machines, you know, where the flap is taken off in the bottom? Well, I saw both of them. I saw this big bucket just being dumped over to this place, and then all of us just kind of falling into this vat of boldness and strength and courage. So I hope you're renewed today. Because the Lord is not mad at any of us. He's happy. And he loves you so much. God bless you. Be strengthened and encouraged and empowered. Couple of announcements. Okay. Tonight, don't forget, I don't know if you're not signed up, I don't know how this works. Because I know there's Bill Johnson's up in Cleveland. But I think you have to be signed up. So you may have to